Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Turn up your volume, because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast, with Tony Maradero.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the spot!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est
la bonne!
Ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Année pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they work the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaBita.TV. It's gonna be sick.
All right, Marinaro, welcome on this. What are we actually? Now that I think of it. Oh yeah, we're Wednesday night. That's right. Where Marc-Andre Perreault is usually a regular collaborator, and he joins me on Wednesday nights. But I haven't checked in with Mapper yet. To tell you the truth, I hope everything's okay, because he's usually on way ahead of time. And my buddy Sammy at Master Control. Actually, I'm seeing that Mapper is in the green room, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to talk to him momentarily. We have a lot to talk to you about tonight. A lot, because there's a lot going on in the world of the Montreal Canadiens, where last night they were officially eliminated from a playoff spot. But let's be honest. I mean, they were unofficially eliminated for many of us, probably going back a couple of months. Who's not eliminated is the Sick Podcast. Did we have a real good one yesterday? For those of you who are with us tonight and were with us last night, or for those of you who missed it, well, the Sick Podcast starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, and it goes for at least an hour. And last night, we went until, I don't have the official count, but I think it was probably a minute or two before 12:30 a.m., or maybe even a minute or two after 12:30 a.m. But it was a sick show last night. Sick podcast, sick show, it had to be, where we had Stéphane from Quebec Cité, who goes under 66 Spinning on YouTube Live. He actually wanted to meet Peter from Côte Saint-Luc, so I gave Peter from Côte Saint-Luc a call. Peter answered. I gave Peter the 1-888-585-SICK number, 1-888-585-7425 number. Peter called in. We sent the video link to Stéphane in Quebec City, and we're going to be doing that more and more often, by the way. It's the first time we sent a caller a video link to actually come on so that we can see him. So, Stéphane, you made history last night on the Sick Podcast. So anyway, I had Stéphane there and from Quebec City, and I had Peter from Côte Saint-Luc. We had a lovely conversation, riveting stuff. This, you know what? Peter is one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life, until I basically virtually or via web here, or whatever you want to call it, via the podcast, Mets the Fan, who's also a very interesting cat. All right. And so I can't wait for us to get together, and we will at some point. As a matter of fact, I just got out of the spa, give or take about 30 minutes ago. And while I was in there, I was FaceTiming with Agnello, and I was telling Agnello, Agnello, what are we doing here? We have to get together with this sick army, this sick community, these people that have supported us, because I know that you're all starting to establish a relationship here, and you've almost become friends while this is going on, and you want to meet each other. You want to meet each other. And so Agnello and I were talking about it. And even though he told me to hold off on this, I'm going to do it anyway. Because, you know, like, I run the show here. You know what I mean? I'd like to ask you, and I'm going to be, Agnello is going to be taking a look at all the comments on social media, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and Twitter Live. I will as well. Sammy will. They're going to jot it down. Okay? So we have 4 or 5 dates in mind that we'd like to meet in the next couple of months here, okay? Tell me, would you like to have a get-together on Saturday, April 8th, while the Canadians are visiting the Leafs? Keep in mind, it's Easter weekend. Or would you like to get together on the final game of the regular season, when the Boston Bruins visit the Montreal Canadiens? That is a Thursday, April 13th. Or would you like to get together at some point in May? And if so, let us know, a Friday or a Saturday. Or would you like to get together in June and let us know, a Friday or a Saturday? Of course, we'd like to do a some kind of a draft party, if we can. I mean, that's in the works. But I mean, the draft goes Wednesday, June 28th, and Thursday, June 29th. By the way, when was the last time the draft was on a Wednesday or Thursday? Am I losing my mind here? Or has it pretty much always been on a Friday and a Saturday? It seems that way. It seems that way. Oh my God, on April 13th, Jose Lévesque will be at the game. There's no way we can end up having a get-together on April 13 if Josée Lévesque's going to be at the game and she's not going to be at the get-together. I mean, that defeats the purpose. I mean, Josée Lévesque has to be there. Everyone wants to meet La Belle Josée, naturally. The Sick Podcast, brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. A perfect fit for this podcast. You want to know why? Because no one has more energy than me when it comes to radio, when it comes to television, and when it comes to podcasting. That's why they're a fit. They're also a fit because the headquarters is out of Villa Salle, which is not too far from my place. They're also a fit because Mike Cinquino and Sean Girard are two of the most stand-up guys I've ever met in my life. Men of honor, cut from a different cloth. You know, like, of yesteryear, the way they used to make them that they don't make them anymore, those guys are like that. And that's the kind of operation that they run, full of honor, honesty, integrity, loyalty. Energy Transportation Group, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America. They are driven to be different. And my friends, of course, over at Le Groupe Geloso, Aldo Geloso, Ted Ferrace, Fred Sartor, the list goes on. Brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards, La Bite à TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bite à TB, embrace your true nature. We have our guy. Bring him on. From Télé Sport, Marc-André Perrault. Comment ça va, mon chum?
I mean, I'm going to try to match that energy, man. You give me the chills. Wow. I love
it. Yeah.
I just want to call Energy Group, drink some Bite à TB.
I still have your Bite à TB, by the way. Your case of 12 is still in my fridge. We were supposed to get together and we didn't.
Next week. Well, I mean, I was in Boston, Buffalo, Philadelphia. It's not my fault. Next week, I'll be in Montreal for sure. And we will get together. And you know what? not only are you gonna give me my case, my case, my
yes, yeah, yeah, your case of 12, yeah, your
yeah,
12
maybe, pack. But we're gonna have one together, and that's an order.
Wow. Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Hey, my right. buddy Frank Consolo, who's a big fan of yours, and
oh,
a big fan of 66 Spinning, who otherwise is of course Stéphane from Quebec City. He says hello to you on YouTube
Hi.
Live.
Hi, Stéphane.
Yes. All right. Okay. 66 Spinning.
Yeah.
Says hello 66. As well.
Hi, 66 Spinning.
By the way,
that's not a first name in English, isn't it?
I'm gonna stop having you on the show now pretty soon, eh?
Oh yeah. Why?
Yeah, because José Lévesque gives me, some really nice attention that we can all use every now and then. And the second that you appear on the screen, oh, le beau mapper, il est beau mec,
wow.
il est ici comme ça, il est tellement fait, il est tellement gentil, il est tellement beau, il est tellement fin, il est tellement excellent. All of a sudden, she forgets about me.
Well, jealousy is an ugly feeling. You should
it
know
is,
that.
But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I am on a health kick like you cannot believe. And between now and the end of the year, no one will be talking about Mapper anymore. They're all going to be talking about marination.
The marination.
You know that I have a contest with Jean-Charles
yeah.
Lajoie. You know that, eh?
Yeah, well, I kind of figured that out.
Who's your money on? He said he's going to lose 21. I said I'm going to lose 25. Who's your money on?
You.
You know how much?
And it's not even a question because, I mean, you're on fire. You look pretty
yeah.
Intense, confident. And I know that those nice pants you showed us
yeah.
a few weeks ago, you don't want them to fit you anymore. So
no, I don't. You must be talking about the blue velvet pants.
Exactly. Higher, please.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Here we go. Here we go.
Higher, please.
All right. Okay. By the way,
hi, Jose.
We're
hi,
talking. Jose. Yeah, yeah. Hi, Jose. Of course. Yeah. Listen, we're talking Habs. We'll start in 10 seconds. But since we started the whole, guess how much weight I've lost in 2 days? 2 days.
I'm going to go 2 days, four yeah. or five.
9.5.
Oh, that's a lot. Did you
yeah,
eat?
Yeah, listen
you,
to me.
Like...
When I go hard.
Like,
I go
big or go home.
I go big or go home. I don't do anything yeah. halfway, my friend.
And I that's, you know, that's why
that's
I put
just
my
the
money
way I'm
on
wired.
Him. And you say, you know, he's I don't know if you say that in English, but the sugar tooth or sugar teeth.
Yeah, well, so do I. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so do
yeah,
I.
But yeah, but he likes, you know, he likes pleasure. I don't know. And yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, you too,
okay.
obviously, but yeah.
Of course, yes. Listen, I know it happened yesterday, but of course you saw it today. It made the rounds of the media still. Some fans are talking
yeah.
about it. Jeff Gordon tried to clear the air yesterday. What am I talking
yeah.
about? Look who's here. Look, go say hi. Say hi. Look who's here. Look who's here. Hold on a second. Look.
Hello.
That's Joey Scalzo from Moxie Coiffure. That's my hairstylist. He's probably going to come
yeah?
in and, give me a trim.
He's going to do it live?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But don't worry about it. He's not going to bother us. Okay, listen. Hey, Joe, how are you? Nice to see you. You're looking great. All right, okay. For those who missed it, you
yeah.
were there, right?
I was there.
Tell
I
us
think,
exactly
yeah.
how it went down and how it felt being there and what the reaction was like when one of your colleagues asked a question that Marty St. Louis didn't like too much.
Well, first of all, obviously, Marty St. Louis, it was not in his plan to make Sean Farrell play yesterday. So let's start with that. But so it's a back-to-back.
Do you know why? Do you know why? Besides the fact
well,
that
he
hadn't
he just won two
or?
Games and things are doing well. The team was doing well. Not only like winning, the team was doing well. Farrell didn't have time to practice, and I mean it's the National Hockey League. It's not just your beer league on
yeah.
Saturday night. It's the big things. It's the show. They don't call the show for nothing. But it's all about contracts, and in contracts you have that first game. You have to fly the parents, the family, blah blah blah. So Anyways, I'm sure it was not planned for Marty St. Louis, but then he learns that, you know, you're going to have to play him.
Yeah.
So, and let's start with the fact that on a back-to-back,
yeah,
the second game. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the second game, the coach speaks at 5, okay?
Okay.
The last thing a coach wants to do at 5 o'clock, so 2 hours prior to a game, is speak to the media. There's so many things going through his mind.
Yeah.
Strategy, meetings, everything. So anyways, it's already a pain in the ass. He comes to talk with us, and we ask the question about Farrell.
I know you're probably not going to like this because, you know, you're in the business of getting audio and of basically of interviewing athletes, coaches. I think he does too much. Every now and then I'd give him a break, man.
I would agree. And I was having that conversation with my colleagues on a back-to-back. Give us Stéphane Robida, give us Alex Burrows, give us anyone, give him a break. But, you know, he's the coach of the Montreal Canadiens, so it comes with it. It's a pain in the butt, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, you come in that room, and so first question, obviously, is, okay, so why did you decide to make Farrell, to put him on your lineup? And he's like, that's a question for Kent.
Yeah.
And it's intense. It's already intense. So I'm there, and, you know, I want to calm things down, so I throw him a softy, and I can't remember what it was, but then my colleague, Simon Olivier from La Presse, who's a very good journalist, by the way, okay? He is really good. So he's like, but why is it a question to Kent? Isn't it you that deciding your lineup? And he took it personal. He took it like, are you deciding anything? So he's giving the death stare. And, you know, when you're giving the stare to someone and then you turn your head, but you make sure the eye is still, you know, there's still an eye contact, and then whew. So we're like, okay, that's not fun right here.
Yeah.
I did it in my pants. My knees were shaking, and I don't like, how do you say malaise in English?
Hold on malaise. A second. Did you just say you did it in your pants, or am I hearing things? What did you do?
Kind of, you know, it's not literally, but
yeah,
just that. But how do you say malaise in English? Like
it was malaise. I don't know. It was uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
How about that? But, right?
Yeah, it sounds accurate.
And you kind of threw me off with the whole "you did it in your pants" type of stuff. All of a sudden, I started thinking of American Pie, and I don't know why.
No, but just to tell you that
the
look, Marty St. Louis. This man is very intense, and
this
look meant. I mean, if it was gone, like, we would be at a funeral today. It was over for Simon Olivier. So, and then, you know, after that, he's already not there. After that, we just lost him. So it's.
Matt Brown, I want to say this. I don't think the question was misplaced. I don't think it was a terrible question. I think it was a question that deserved to be asked.
Of course.
At the same time, you know, poor person who's going to ask it, because you just get the feeling that it'll make someone feel uncomfortable. Marty St. Louis probably looking at him saying, do you think I'm a puppet? You know what I mean? Do you think I'm a puppet?
Exactly.
But I understand the question. But Patrick Huard said this morning on BPM Spot that he thought the question was totally misplaced and there was no place for it.
I'm not so sure I agree. And you know, I'll say it again. I really have a ton of respect for this colleague. Okay, let's start with that. But sometimes thing goes fast. There's a new information coming. You wanna ask a question. Sometimes maybe the wording was not. Maybe it was not appropriate in that situation. But
yeah.
The last thing I want to do is say that he did wrong, because the question had to be asked. Why Kent Hughes is deciding who's gonna play? You're the coach. So the question, it was totally fine. Maybe the wording, well, I'm saying that because obviously that was the problem for Marty St. Louis. So anyways,
put it this way. If he doesn't ask the question, you have a bunch of people on social media or calling into radio shows, TV shows, whatever, people talking about it, members of the media talking about it, saying, why wasn't he asked the question? This exactly. can't make his lineup. Well, and so Simon asked the question that everyone wanted to ask.
And it's a good question. He's a good journalist. And you know what? He's a funny guy. We all love him. Okay. So everyone felt bad for him.
Yeah.
So anyway, but at the same time, there's two things. Well, three things that happened. It's too bad. Nobody looked good in that situation. But there's two more things. First, Marty St. Louis can't lie. And that's good news. That's good news. He just can't. He's not an hypocrite. He's not going to say some things that he doesn't think. He doesn't lie. And I love that. Okay. That's one. Second of all, this group, like Gordon, Hughes, and Marty St. Louis, they can have arguments. They can disagree. They're not always saying, oh yeah, you're good, you're beautiful, you're doing the right things. Sometimes they challenge each other. And yesterday, obviously, it was, I'm not saying there was an argument, but there was a disagreement. And you know what? This morning, I'm sure they're buddy-buddy. They're like, I mean, this group is like that. So I think from a bad situation came out some good. So Jeff Gordon basically said, you know what? I'll talk to the media between the first and the second period. And he just told us that the fact that it was to allow his family to be there. It was easier for his family. And Renaud Lavoie, our friend, told me that it's in the contract. First game, you have, if possible, you have to fly the parents and make everything in your power to make sure that the family is there, blah, blah, blah. So, but at the same time, what it did was that maybe it was not the greatest day for the kid for a first game.
Yeah.
But basically that was the explanation. And but you know, when you want to sign an NCAA player, you have to, you know, offer him candies. And candy was obviously, you're going to play this year. And okay, well, here's the schedule. There's a game, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you have to seduce him. You have to make sure he's going to sign for you. So,
by the way, many took it as one of the things that probably upset St. Louis was that Sean Farrell had just arrived. He didn't have a practice under his belt. He didn't have a morning skate. He had nothing. And boom, he's thrown into the fire. Which could very well be. But I actually think, and I could be wrong here because only the coach knows, okay? I actually think out of all the reasons why the coach wouldn't have wanted him in the lineup last night was because I think he wanted to reward the lineup that he had the night before with a gutsy effort. Now, in the end, Kirby Dock did not end up playing because he was out because of injury. But I think he wanted to go with his same lineup, don't you?
Yeah, of course. And I'll tell you what happened with Kirby Dock. So Dock was injured, left the game, came back. And, you know, it's not – I'm not saying it's a concussion, but it could – sometimes the symptoms comes 24 to 48 hours after. I'm not saying it's a concussion. We'll find out. But yesterday – he was about to play, came, I saw him arriving at the rink with his suit. So he was playing. And then I heard that, kind of felt bad, went to see Graham and told him he didn't feel good. So it's about 5-ish, 5:15, 5:30. And Graham is like, hey, buddy, you're not playing. So then you go back to Marty St. Louis saying, you know, Tierney will play because Pitlick was available as well, but Doc can play. So there you go. But at the same time, Farrell arrived in Philly the day before. So while the Canadians were playing in Buffalo, so he was at the hotel. The morning after, they knew he was going to play. Okay, they knew it. So instead of sending him at the morning skate with Pitlick, Weidman, Montembeau, and Primo, they said, you know what? You're going to go have breakfast with your teammates. So that's what he did. 8:30 was at the breakfast. Veterans, players came at the same table. They spent an hour chatting with him, meeting him, blah, blah, blah. After that, meetings, you know, the style de jeu. So that's a lot of information. So he spoke with, obviously, Martin Saint-Louis, spoke with the assistant coaches. So they felt it was better for him to spend some time, like videos and meeting people and everything, have his nap instead of going for a skate. So that's what happened. That's it.
All right. Okay. It's thank you, Joe. You're doing a great job, by the way. Mapper says hi. You want to say hi to Marc-André Perrault?
How are you?
I need an haircut.
Well, so when do you need the haircut? By next week?
Yesterday.
Okay, so next week we're going to meet up, and I'm going to get you the beer?
Of course, that'll be nice. I'm thirsty already.
All right, so you make your way over to my place, and Joe's place is probably about less than 1,000 meters from my house.
Sounds
so
good.
We'll bring you over there, and he'll give you a haircut. Good?
All right, man. Yeah.
Not just the haircut, too. The massage and stuff. They bring you over. Give you a shampoo. They put this beautiful coconut shampoo, which is my favorite fragrance, by the way, the coconut. They massage into your scalp. He actually has shampoo and conditioner. Look, Moxie Coiffure. You see that? It's got its perks. This is amazing.
Like you're going to cry.
Hey, it's funny you know what? It doesn't happen often, but I think I was bang on because I said to Jean-Charles Lajoie yesterday, he said to me on TV Sport, he said, how did they get this wrong? And I said, Jean-Charles, I'm going to speculate because I've been down the concussion road before, okay, four times, okay? So I'm going to speculate. Doc had the concussion protocol the night before.
Yep.
Whether he passed it or he didn't pass, let's just say he passed it because he was going to play, so he passed it, okay? Okay? So he passed it. He set the play. All of a sudden, he either is dizzy, has a headache, is nauseous, and you know what? You go see the doctor, and the doctor says, you're not playing, and that's exactly what you reiterated, and that's the way it went down. I mean, I figured it was that.
You're bang on it. It's as simple as that. And at the same time, Martin felt that, you know, you have to reward your players when they're giving you good performances, and that's what they were giving. So he didn't, and that's an impression. I don't have any confirmation, but I mean, 1+1. So Marty didn't want to change anything about this lineup. So he was pissed. He was obviously pissed, and that's fine. I you know what? Again, I like the fact that he can't lie.
Oh,
he's
I love
not
that.
Full of bull crap.
I love
and
that.
I love the fact that he doesn't always agree with Ken.
Yes.
And their wives are still friends. They're still friends. They're going to have lunches. And, you know, it's all good. But we had to pick up some teeth on the floor.
I hear you. Hey, Joe, go into the fridge if you want. There's a case of Labitadibi. Grab a beer.
Go
into the fridge. No, don't touch his case. By the way, you might want to confirm to Mapper that there is a case in there that is not opened, which is his, okay? But there is a case that is opened, which is mine. And grab yourself a couple of beers here. Sit down with us. All right. Okay. Did you hear Keith Tkachuk? And I know we're going to. So I want to talk about Keith Tkachuk, and I'm going to tell you why in just a second here. Yeah. Well, folks, Keith Tkachuk, obviously former NHLer, has two sons, Brady and Matthew, who both play in the National Hockey League. Matthew plays for the Florida Panthers. He's their best player. And Brady plays for the Ottawa Senators, and he's their best player. And probably because, you know, Stutzel's not too bad. Cheers, my friend. There you go. When you have a sip, you want to come in the camera here. Just not literally, but actually. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So you catch that one or what? Yeah, you got it. Yeah, okay. What a good man. All right. Okay. He went on and he spoke with my buddy, Carlo Koliakovo, earlier this morning. And we got to listen to this, folks. This is unbelievable to think that a father of a player would go on the radio and say this about one of his son's teams. It's unbelievable. Listen in.
Matthew in town tonight here in Toronto to play the Maple Leafs. Big game for the Panthers. They've been struggling of late. I mean, Matthew owes you a little birthday gift. Like, he's going to tuck one tonight against the Leafs, right?
Well, I hope so. I mean, this is do or die for the Panthers right now. So, you know, I watched them the other night, and, you know, I know I'm staying at Brady's house, but Brady's team, you know, they played really well. They'd have some jam, and, you know, I'm a little disappointed in the Panthers. You know, they're a bit, you know, they're a soft team, and they're getting everything they deserve right now.
There you have it. They're a soft team, and they're getting everything they deserve right now.
He wanted to say it. He wanted to say it because the question was not there at all.
Yeah, and no, you're right about that. And guess what? Paul Maurice, at one point tonight, the Panthers were up by a score of 1-0. Toronto goes up by a score of 2-1. They have a goal that's called back. Maurice goes absolutely nuts. He lets his team have it. And clearly, you know, he's trying to show, hey, you know what? The fact that they're soft is not my fault, right? Because I'm hard on them. I'm tough on them. I'm going to give it to them. He gives it to them. Guess what? He got the greatest response you can ever get from your team. They scored two goals, including the winner in overtime, much to my disappointment because I took the Leafs to win earlier this morning with Jean Charles when I gave my pick. But the Panthers beat the Leafs 3-2 in OT.
That's big. That's
so he got the response that he wanted.
Of course. And I mean, you have to be Keith Kitchuk, or you have to be someone to say that. I'm not sure that went well with the Panthers organization, but you know, he doesn't give a crap and that's perfect like that. But you know what? He's right. He is right. First, the Sens and Brady, he's a horse. Same thing with Matthew, different, but I mean, the Panthers should be on top of the standings or pretty, you know, close to it. And I don't know why obviously they're soft, but to be called like that by the father of one of your players, that's huge. And I like the response. So we'll see, but that's a big W for them. But, you know, I love it. I love it. That's what hockey needs. You know, this type of statement and, you know, Ped celebration and everything, you know, out of the box. I love it.
Yeah, look, hockey, I'm not going to say it's boring, but it's in so many respects, it's too conservative. Okay. The other night,
you think so?
When many people were talking about Michael Pezzetta and his celebration, and you know, there's an unwritten rule, and you don't do that, and you don't. And by the way, Michel Therrien said it, and I respect Michel. He's not the only one, by the way. There's several coaches, and I would imagine several players. Antoine Roussel came out and said, "You don't do it." Philippe Boucher, you put your. So, here's what I think is an interesting phenomenon in all this, is that those who played in the NHL or coached in the NHL, they have the same opinion. And members of the media who didn't have the complete opposite opinion. The National Hockey League is conservative. The NBA is not. The NFL is not. The NFL is North America's sport. Like in the States, it's like number one by so much, it's not even funny. They do everything right. The way they celebrate touchdowns, in the NBA, the way they celebrate dunks, and in the National Hockey League, a young man by the name of Michael Pezzetta, who dreamt of playing in the National Hockey League and scoring a big goal in front of his family and
friends. Never going to score another goal like that.
Probably ever since he was 6 years old, is playing in Buffalo in front of his family and friends because he hails from Toronto, who probably drove an hour and a half to go watch him play. He probably had 50-plus people there, 100 people there. And he's tapped on the shoulder by Marty St. Louis to go take a shootout. And he scores the game-winning goal. And we have to get mad at him because he's riding a stick? Totally. Is this a joke or what?
Totally agree. That's one of the main reasons why this league is not having success in a lot of states. It's just sometimes it's just boring. And you had Sidney Crosby earlier this year saying, you know, I can't say it. Okay. And I'm not picking on Crosby because he speaks his mind, but you know, he's very careful. Every players are careful. We heard Connor McDavid saying last week that, you know, saying basically that that was fun. The baseball World Classic. We need that. Yeah. And I was like, okay, Connor McDavid has opinions. It's the first time I see that. It's not normal. He's the face of the league now.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So I remember Koliakovo, your friend. It was
Koliakovo, Carlo Koliakovo.
Yeah, a few months ago, he made a tweet, and I retweeted him, and it was bang on, saying, like, pointing like 5 or 6 points why the NHL is having problem. Yes. One of it was rivalries, which is for me the main reason, and He pointed out that, you know, guys doesn't have personality. So again, Pezzetta is doing this. And first, I mean, when you arrive in the locker room, I'm like, man, I have to say, I'm proud of you. That was great. Tiger Williams, Ty Dumi did it, and now you did it. It was awesome. And yeah, you know, everybody was having a good time, but we could feel that there was a malaise. How do you say that?
Mixed feelings, a little bit of an uneasy feeling in the room.
Yeah, kind of a mixed feeling, because they liked it, and it was not against Pezzetta, because they thought it was great. They love Pezzetta. But how the other team is going to react?
Here's where this culture has to end. And I'm going to tell you what has to happen. Okay. I'm Gary Bettman. Okay. I put everyone on a Zoom call when they're available. I find a time when everyone's available. And I say, listen, guys, we got to make this game fun again. We got to make it fun again. All right. I want your personalities to come out. I want you to have great interviews. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. One of the things they do in the States with podcasts, and I want to do it with mine, okay? And here's I'm going to share a secret that's within, you know, the inner circle of myself, Sammy, and Yellow, okay? We take a look at a lot of stuff that happens in the States, where some of the bigger podcasts obviously take place. Athletes nowadays, they are regular collaborators and contributors on podcasts. Tom Brady, for the longest time, would go on with the people in Boston. I believe it was the sports radio station there. Aaron Rodgers goes on with Pat McAfee once a week. And a couple of weeks ago, he announced where he wants to go and how it's all going to go down. And I think they had 468,000 people that were watching live, okay? This is great for the athletes. It's obviously great for the podcast, okay? But it's great for the athlete's branding, all right? Maybe the athlete can make a couple of bucks out of it too. But it's just, and you know, so many fans, they want these athletes to take them into their inner world and even their world off the ice. They have no idea when practice is over, where they go. Do they go for lunch? Do they go together? Do they get in the bus? Do they go to the hotel? Do they go to the airport? Once they get to the airport, what do they do? How do they pass their time? When they go, what's their favorite city? Where do they go to eat? What time can they stay out until? You know, how often do they have team meetings? What do they look like? What do they sound like? What do they like to do in their spare time? Do they watch hockey when they're not playing? Do they not watch hockey? What are their interests? There's so many things that we could talk about. And of course, a little bit about the game and a little bit about the team and what's going on. The National Hockey League, they don't do this. They don't do it. And you know what? You know what it's led me to believe? Is that PK Subban, even though we all at one point thought maybe it could have been too much, he was ahead of his time. He was ahead of his time. He tried to take that mentality and that culture of football and basketball, bring it to the National Hockey League. Many dinosaurs and old farts and all that stuff, old fashioned, didn't like it, didn't accept it, but he did good. And this is what the game needs. Carlo talked about what the game needs. There's a lack of rivalries. There's a lack of personalities. In my opinion, there's too many games. In my opinion, you should have back-to-backs in the same city so you avoid travel and the rivalry spills over. Maybe change the playoff format. There's different things you could do. For example, too, the lottery to find out where the teams are going to be picking. Monday, May 8th, you can get the entire hockey world together in a bar. You're doing it on Monday when some bars are closed. Why would you do it on Monday, May 8th? Why? But is it me, or am I missing something here?
It's a good question.
It's a good question. Pas juste un bel face, moi. I'm not just another pretty face, you know.
Yeah, you
know what I'm talking
about. But you are right. Can you imagine like a cold coffee or cam, like exactly what you were saying. You film him while in practice, after practice, what he likes to eat, what he likes to play with who, and
yeah,
it would be just, but it seems like they don't want that. And is there another sports where, I mean, hockey players, they have great personalities. They're funny. They don't have only good sides, but they're funny dudes and they're good, nice, you know, it's fun to hang out with hockey players normally. So, you know, put it on. But it seems like you talked about Michel Therrien, and I respect Michel a lot.
But so do I, of course.
But it's that mentality that he said, you know what, Peds, maybe he's going to have to answer the bell. So I was after at La Poche Bleue, and I'm like, answer the bell? He gave a show to the fans? Like, it's going to be on the highlights for how long? It's going to be on Instagram, YouTube for how long? So everybody's like, man, it's awesome, but he's going to deserve a punch in the face for doing that? It's just crazy. And, you know, after the game in Buffalo, you know, there's a hall. Then you have the Buffalo locker room, which is very nice, by the way. Then you keep on going. You have Montreal dressing room. And after the games, you know how it works. Like, there's often players from both teams. They hang around after, the old friends, blah, blah, blah. There's one player from Buffalo and one player from Montreal. I'm not going to name them, obviously, because it was a private conversation. But I had to go, you know, I had to cross the wall. And they were talking about it. And the Sabres player was not happy about the celebration. And the Montreal player was like, you know what, I understand. And yeah, maybe it was too much, blah, 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 blah. But the guy, he is mad. So is there going to be retaliation for that? Probably. But man, everybody who saw that was like, hey, man, that was great. Even in, I mean, there was a lot of Montreal jersey in the building, but even fans of the Sabres thought it was, you know, it was funny. It was, you know, maybe it was. Yeah. So anyways,
we need a culture change here, because if the Sabres were to come into Montreal and they would celebrate, like, I personally would have no problem with it. I would find it funny. I think the game needs more of it. I think goal celebrations, there's not enough, man. There's not enough. What do they do sometimes? They give high five to each other, and then they skate by the bench, and they
Kirby Doc up. Earlier this year in Chicago, the when he did the Hulk Hogan move to the fans, it was great. Nobody talked about it. Slav, when he scored his first goal, you know, he yelled to the Coyote players, like saying to go F himself. That was awesome. Remember back in the days, Teemu Selänne, he scored, he would go boom, boom, boom. That was great.
Hey, throw the glove in the air and grab the stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need that. You need that. So anyway, yeah. I'm, or find the line between, you know, not being too much and humiliate the opponent, but you have to give a show to the fans. You have all the ingredients in hockey.
And look, you know what? Once again, everyone that worked in hockey, whether as a coach, GM, scout, staff member, assistant, player, they're all on the same. They're all of the same opinion, and that's because that is what the culture is. And we're just saying that in my world, Gary Bettman has to have a Zoom call with everyone and says, guys, we need to start having fun. All right, we're the no fun league, and we need to start being the fun league. We need to start being fun here. All right.
We agree
this
on
is,
that. Yeah.
This is too boring, man. This is too boring.
Well, last night's game, it was one. I mean, it's been 9 years now, I think.
Yeah.
9 or 10 years. Top three boring games I've been, like, top three.
Yeah, that was, you know what? And you know what? It was odd. Two teams that are going to miss the playoffs. You have no reason to be boring. You have no reason to be boring last night. It's Tortorella versus St. Louis. Why was it that boring?
And trust me, there was a 9 minute and almost 10 minutes, like, nonstop.
Yeah.
It was great because it was, you know, it was just great because we couldn't take it anymore.
You want me to tell you why?
Why?
Because you shouldn't be playing back-to-backs in the National Hockey League, travel included. You should not.
Yes,
but in my world, the National Hockey League plays 4 to 5 days a week, not 7. And that's
oh, it. No, no, I don't agree.
You don't
we
agree? All, no.
We already, no, we already talked about that. For
all right.
7 days. You need to have games every day. And the back-to-backs, don't forget that the buildings, I mean, look at the Madison Square Garden. There's always something. So when you can find a hole to play, you take it.
Yeah,
it's the same. So there's so many things that, you know, you have to play back-to-back. And I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that. But
so many things I want to talk to you about, but we've already been on for about 45 minutes. So I'm going to make this very fast, okay? Very, very fast.
Yep.
Caden Primo and NHL are going forward, yes or no?
Not right now. He played great yesterday, though. He looked more solid than ever. Like the fact that the puck was, you know, looking for him and stick to his body. But now I will say no. Yeah. But I wish I'm wrong. I wish I'm wrong because he did this the last year. So.
All right. Okay. Someone says, suggestion, leave the phone number under your name during the show. We don't usually take calls when there's no game. When there is a game, we have the number up at the top, 1-888-585-7425. All right. Okay. Raphael RV Pinard to Laval to finish off the season.
It wouldn't be fair to him. But if they have an agreement for his contract, I would say why not? But I'm not sure about that one.
Laval needs to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I saw the standings today. I have the schedule in front of me. As a matter of fact, also the month of April, they have 1, 2, 3, 4. They have 6 games. 4 of them are at home in Laval.
Well, yeah, I get it, but it would be unfair to Rafael. I don't like that.
Okay. Pierre Lebrun says, we're not only talking Pierre-Luc Dubois in Winnipeg. They might actually, that golden generation that they had in Winnipeg that they thought they were going to win with at one time with
Scheifele
and Wheeler and Ehlers and Dubois and Connor Hellebuyck.
At one point, yeah.
Buffalo, yeah, they had Jacob Trouba too. List goes on and on. He says Dubois might not be the only one gone. Scheifele might be gone too. Hellebuyck might be gone too. And they might dismantle this whole thing and start all over again.
Of course. For me, I can't see how Mark Scheifele would sign long-term deal with the Jets. I just don't think it's going to happen. And there's something called the window in hockey. Well, in every sport. And they had their window in 2018, 19, 17, maybe.
Yeah.
They didn't took the opportunity. So, yeah, it's like Montreal back in the 14. You know, it's the window is open. You don't get in.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Start again.
A shout out to Playground. Major poker festivals are back at Playground. The March Million features 10 ring events and $1 million in guaranteed prize money, including a $400,000 guaranteed main event play in Playground's March Million Poker Series from March 23rd to April 2nd. Visit playground.ca for details. Mathias Brunet of La Presse newspaper says no to Denis Gurianov. He's already identified who he sees a right wing going forward for the Canadiens next year. He says no, he's cutting ties. You say?
I agree with Mathias. I'm not seduced. You know, when you're...
What does it take to seduce you exactly, Marc-Andre? Not that I would, you know, like... but just for those...
For me, Raphaël Harvey-Pinard, that's exactly what seduces me. Like, work. Work. You are lucky to be there. Just work. Do not... So, it's as simple as that. So... I just can't stand.
But if somebody were to want to seduce you personally, they'd have to work for you then? They'd have to work for you?
Just a smile. Just be nice.
All it takes is a smile. This guy's the best. I love this guy. Yeah, this guy's
just
the best.
A smile. Just a smile.
I know that he's incredibly inconsistent. I know that. And I know that there's a lot of players over the course of time that we've said they have tools and then they were never able to put it together on a consistent basis. But Gurianov's skill set and the tools in his toolbox.
Yeah, but I'm tired of that.
I like what he has. Like, I now, mind you, I mean, I liked what Nikita Sherbak had at one point doing, and he never put it together, and he didn't play in National Hockey League very long. But I don't know, like, what is there to lose to bring him back? You're in a rebuilding year. No one thinks you're going to make the playoffs next year anyway.
Don't get me wrong. I would sign him. I think, am I saying two different things now? But I would give him a try, but I'm really not sure about what I've seen so far. But he's got all the tools.
I have the ability to change people's minds, you know.
Yeah, you're very good at it.
But thank you very much.
I don't know.
In ending. Jeff Gordon was asked about the negotiations, Cole Caulfield and his clan.
Yeah.
He had a little bit of a smirk. Okay. He's optimistic. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know when. I will tell you this. I'm hearing a contract will be announced before the season is over. And the last game is the 13th of April when they host the Boston Bruins. I'm hearing a contract will be announced before the season is over. When? I don't know. But it'll be done before the season is over. That's what I'm hearing.
That's probably correct, because he was saying things are going well and he's confident and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But he kind of looked at me with a smile saying that, you know, my understanding is that it's coming. So
he didn't tell you when the cameras are off, everything. Hey, say hi to Tony. Like, nothing. He didn't say that to you, or say hi to Tony.
He said, tell him about his hair.
The hair. Okay, Joe's here. Joe, come in. Bring the chair here. Bring the chair. Okay, before we let Marc-Andre Perreault go, just tell people who you like. People saw you before, right? But for those who didn't, introduce yourself. Speak a little bit louder than you did last time, though. Okay, speak into the microphone. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Joe. How are you?
Hey, Joe. You're the
best. My God, he's turning red. What's wrong with you? What are you, shy or what?
Give him another beer.
There's 45,000 people watching right now at the same time. There's no reason to be. All right. How long have you been doing this, Joe?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years. And how long you been at Moxie Coiffure, which is your place in partnership with another partner?
It's about 17 years now.
17 years at Moxie Coiffure. So when you come to beautiful Villa Sal, I'm bringing you there. Okay.
Can't wait.
Thank you very much for your collaborations again. A regular every Wednesday night. You, my friend, you are very good at what you do. You are fantastic. Merci beaucoup.
Say it again. Thanks, my friend.
All right. You, my friend, are very good at what you do. You are fantastic. All right. Ciao, ciao.
See you.
Okay. A shout out to sportbuffshop.com. Shop all of your sports licensed lifestyle apparel, including hoodies, caps, and t-shirts of your favorite teams from all major leagues at sportbuffshop.com. Use code SICK10 for 10% off on all of their items. Agnello and Sammy at Master Control. Joe's a hardworking man, says Alfred Vega. He definitely is. Joe, you know that I don't like hair on me, right? You saw that, right? You know, like the second I see some hair, did you make sure that you got everything in the back of the neck here gone? Everything? Yeah. All right. Okay. Look what I got. It arrived in the mail a couple of days ago. This would be the, there we go. You see that? There we go. Huh? Look at this. This is a beauty. This was sent to me by the good folks over at Manscaped. Manscaped, Joe, excellent product, Joe. Excellent product. And I got this as well. Look at that. All right. Lovely, lovely, lovely paper they have. And look at this, Joe. Look at this, look at this. Look at this. You know, if you go like this, you are not going to cut yourself. You see, Joe? No cuts. Look at that. Manscaped. For Marinaro. Why? Because it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Joe, look at this. Joe, look. Look at this. All right. Agnello, Sammy, back at Master Control. Why don't we get to some questions here? While I'm removing every single inch of hair that I have on my body. Why? You're going to ask? Because I have a phobia and I don't like hair on my body. So I shave my fingers. I shave my hands. I shave my arms, my armpits. I basically shave my whole body. Like, I'll leave hair on my head and I'll have some on my face every now and then with a beard. But other than that, you won't find another hair on my body. You just won't. Dude, it's not for your arms. For me, I use it for everything. Everything. See, look. We're going to remove the... You gonna hold this for a second, Josie? Look over here. Look, too. Let's get the necklace out of the way, Joe. Look, uh-huh. I do this all the time. All the time. All right. There we go. So for the good people at Manscaped, thank you very much. I love my Manscaped. Let's bring in some more questions. So, Tony, Hughes is a very smart GM. Do you think McDavid is on his radar in 3 years when he said that he sees the team making noise in 2-3 years in the playoffs? Should have the money to throw his way. This coming in from Ron LaRocque. Should have the money. Listen, everyone's going to be interested in Connor McDavid. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And you would think that if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup in Edmonton in the next 3 years, well, then his next contract is not going to be in Edmonton. It's going to be somewhere else. That's what you would think. If he's going to have the money, he'll make a play. If he doesn't have the money, he won't. It's that simple. Now, you can guess that he's going to have the money all you want. But at the same time, you know what? He might end up giving $8 million to Cole Caulfield. He's already given $7.875 to Nick Suzuki. He might end up giving $8 million or $7 million to Pierre-Luc Dubois. Then all of a sudden, Caden Gooley and Juraj Slafkovský, they end up becoming pretty good NHLers, and all of a sudden they're in for a big pay hike as well. You never know. You know, who knows if he's going to be able to have the space, but if teams want to make a play for Connor McDavid, they have to start basically in the next year or so. They already have to start planning and getting things in place so that they can get rid of some contracts and they're going to have the room, because Connor McDavid, in 3 or 4 years from now, he's going to be paid a lot of money. He's paid 12 and a half right now or whatever it is. Well, he's going to be paid. The cap's going to go up. So you're going to be able to dedicate more money to your best player because of a percentage on the amount of the cap. And he's probably going to make in excess of $15 million. And you know what? That guy is worth the price of admission anytime. Yeah, probably about $15 million. Other questions coming in. Alfred Vega. Boys, is Slaf, if Slaf would be part of the 2023 NHL draft, is he in the top five? In my opinion, not a chance. Well, he wouldn't be ahead of Bedard. He wouldn't be ahead of Fantilli. He wouldn't be ahead of Carlson. And, you know, he wouldn't be ahead of Michkov if the whole Russia and KHL thing didn't exist. And there are others that Grant McCagg of Recruits and Recruits.ca talked to us about yesterday. Others coming in. It's 10:57 live out of beautiful Villa Salle in Montreal. Hey, Mosey Tuna. Wine Samurai. What is the Habs starting lineup for the 23-24 season? And Yellow and Sammy. It's Wednesday, March 29th. The Canadians are going to end up playing their first game of next season probably in the first or second week of October on a Wednesday. Why are you bringing up this question? But what am I supposed to do? Look into a crystal ball here? I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I don't know who's going to be back, who's not going to be back. I mean, I can guess. I'd rather answer that question as we get closer. Sometime in the summer, I'll answer that question. Where are we going? Hey, T, what's happening with Monahan? Marco Monaco. Marco, thanks for the question via Facebook. I say this. If they get a good report on Monahan's health, I say that Monahan will re-sign with the Canadiens, even though a lot of people don't think so. Now, if they don't get a good report or feedback on what his health is or what it's going to be going forward, then they won't sign him. But if they think, you know what, this guy's going to be healthy, they're going to say, hey, listen, Sean, you picked up 17 points in 25 games with us. It was going well. You were starting to find your rhythm. You now know all the players. You know the city. You know the culture. You know the team. You know this. You know that. Why don't you come back another year or two, and then you know what? You'll be UFA at that point. you put together a good season or two good seasons, and then at that point you could end up getting yourself a long-term contract, possibly. I think it all depends on his health status. Next. If Habs win the second pick overall and draft Fantilli, does Hughes forget about Pierre-Luc Dubois? Ooh, that's a good question. I would say no, he won't, because Pierre-Luc Dubois can still play the wing. He can play wing. He can play center. And Fantilli would be on an entry-level contract. So, no, I think he would still be interested. That's one way of really accelerating the rebuild. Thank you very much. Next. It's been forever since the Habs have had a point-per-game player. Would you trade Gouley for an 80-point guy? Gouley's obviously one of the last players that I want to trade. I'd always like that offense. But an 80-point guy is going to be making $10 million. And Gouley's making $1 million. And so, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. Because there's going to be a lot of contracts coming in. I wouldn't. Why would I trade Gouley for an 80-point guy when I can trade a lot less than that and get Dubois, who can probably hit 70 points? I'm not trading Caden Gouley. Defensemen like this, they don't come around every day. This guy skates like the wing. He's a first-pairing shutdown defenseman for a decade. This is the kind of guy that if you trade him, like Sergachev, you say, oh, man, this is coming back to haunt us for a very long time. And by the way, Gouley's ceiling higher than Sergachev's, in my humble opinion, of course. Other questions? Tony, are you hearing an 8-year contract for Caulfield? I think it goes down either 8 years, 7 years, or 3 years. I don't see any other term other than that. 8 years, 7 years, or 3 years. I would imagine his best friend on the team is Nick Suzuki, who signed an 8-year deal last year. And he's got 7 years on his deal, whatever. I would imagine they'd like to keep him here as long as they're going to keep Nick Suzuki here and say, okay, you know what, guys? This is our window to win a cup. But if I'm Pat Brisson, I'm probably more intrigued with 3 years more than anything else. 3 years, Cole Caulfield scores 40, 45, and 50. You know what's going to happen in year four from now? He's going to break the bank. That's what's going to happen. He's going to break the bank. Agnello and Sammy, make your way in here. Let's go.
What's
hey.
Going on? What's going on?
Say hi to Joey the Barber.
Joey the Barber, great job, man.
How are you?
Good, good.
You're not going to make any money with Agnello. He's never coming to see you. Look, look. Right
the
door.
Right so the reason door. The reason we put up that question about next year's lineup, you know why we did that?
Tell me.
It was kind of payback time for last night.
Oh, yeah. It was payback time for last night because
he knew you weren't going to answer that, so we put you on the spot.
I'm going to tell you something. You're probably referring to the fact that we instead of finishing at 11 p.m. last night, we finished at
12:30
a.m., right?
Yep.
I'm going to tell you this, and I didn't see Sammy today. I didn't speak to Sammy today, okay? Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to bet that as much as you're complaining, Sammy was ecstatic. Tell me I'm wrong.
Sammy wanted to go all night. He said, tell Tony to keep going.
My kind of guy.
Yep, I agree.
He wants to go all night. Yeah. You either go big or go home.
He keeps saying
I wanted to go big. You wanted to go home.
He says that we got to set up a marathon night. We go all night long, bring in our guests from other cities. We just go all night till 6, 7 in the morning.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
On the honeymoon. Yeah. Oh, what are we talking about here? Okay, sorry. All right, okay. No, but seriously, hey, I threw it out there earlier.
Yep.
What was the feedback from our beautiful Sick Army, our beautiful Sick community here? When do they want to get together? Did they give a date?
They didn't really give a date. The problem is if we do it on a night when the Canadians play, then we can't get all the collaborators out.
I was thinking about that
That's
too.
That's the problem. That's what I was thinking once you mentioned it. So tomorrow
I was thinking about that too. Look, for example, Marc-Andre Perreault. I want him to be there. Yeah, the Canadians play, he can't be there.
100%. So we'll see. We're going to work on it tomorrow. Maybe we'll do it a week after they finish. And we'll watch another game, playoff game or something that's going on. You know?
Yeah. We can do that. Yeah. We can do that. Yeah. Because at that point, when you're watching another playoff game instead of the Canadians, you have more time to mingle and stuff like that. You know, talk and whatever, because you're not as engaged in the game as you would be if it was the Habs, right?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Jay Fed says Tony went all night at the buffet.
Not anymore.
No, don't talk to me about food right now. I really have to try and stay away. Will you guys have a draft lottery night on May 8th? Well, look, we're not there yet, but what I can tell you is that on May 8th, we're not going to go at 10 p.m. that night. We're going to change our time, and we're going to start when the draft lottery starts. We'll have a special show.
It's kind of kind of stupid that it's a Monday night.
It's kind of stupid that it's a Monday night. Alfred says, yeah, but there's only 10 teams really that can find out where their standing can be. So you know what? It doesn't impact anyone else. Hi, babe. Come on in. Hey, babe, come on in. Joy the Barber's here. Yes. So my wife has this habit that she checks if the door's open before she actually, you know, goes to bed and stuff like that. So she walked right in. I was going to bring her on the podcast, but no, God, she cannot be on the podcast. No, no one can look at me. No. Anyway, that's that. All right. Okay. Tomorrow night, same time, same place. The Canadians are in action tomorrow, and give or take 15, 20 minutes after the game. All depends. You don't know the way that these games go, right? Take a look at the game the other night in Buffalo. By the time the game was over, I mean, we had the second the game was over, the podcast at the start. But usually, for the most part, games go a good 2 hours and 40 minutes. So we're usually on the air about 20 minutes after the game. Tomorrow night, the Canadians host the Florida Panthers, who are coming off a 3-2 win in overtime in Toronto. And we'll be back tomorrow night. Same time, same place, 10 p.m. They're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro. He's Joey the Barber. And once again, I'm Marinaro. This podcast is sick. The Sick Podcast. Back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Ciao for now.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature.